All right, good morning, church. It's good to see you. We'll go ahead and get going. We've got, you get to be the featured service. We usually record the early service, but I was not able to figure that stuff out, so now you get to be the featured service for online today. But we're glad you're here. I wanted to read something from Exodus 24. We will have Tony will be leading us in singing this morning, and Chester will take care of our Lord's Supper. And we will have time at the end of the service, and we'll be able to talk and make announcements, prayer requests, and just let people know what's going on. We do have supplies if you need anything for communion, and same kind of thing. We're just keeping at it, and when we get done, let's go out into the parking lot and fellowship out there. Okay, I wanted to read from Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, Moses is having an encounter with God, and one of the things that happens to us if we are Christians for any amount of time, is we are tempted to lose the wonder that God at one time in our lives captivated. We get very comfortable. Now, God wants us to be comfortable with us. He's made us His children. And just like you know with your children don't say, "Father, may I please come and sit upon your lap?" They run in there and, you know, you're just hoping not to get injured permanently as you catch them on your lap. And God gives us that wonderful relationship of daddy and child. But I think sometimes we forget and we tend to take the relationship we have with Him for granted. And we forget who it is that we're dealing with. And so this morning as we enter into our worship, I wanted us to take a fresh look at what God shows Moses in Exodus chapter 24. You'll have to remember, Israel comes out of Egypt, who had a god, a statue, a tower, a temple for everything. But it was all man-made. And so God gets them out into the wilderness, and God says, "I'm going to show my people something a little more natural." Now, we know that this didn't last long because all the people went to Aaron and said, "Hey, Aaron, build us a temple. Make us a god. We need something, a statue, an animal. We need something we can bow down to because we want to worship God. And that's the only way we've ever seen worship happen." So the pagan way was the only way that they had any experience of. And meanwhile, God is doing this in verse 15. "Moses went up on the mountain and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." As close as we have been called, and even though, like Moses, through the blood of Jesus, you and I have been allowed to come near to the presence of God, God is still a consuming fire. His glory, His power have not lessened in any way. And so as we worship together this morning, as we fellowship, as we sing, as we praise His holy name, let's remember how awesome God is. Let's remember just who He is and how big He is and how powerful He is. So as we draw near, may it be enough to make us watch our steps. So we're glad you're here today. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get rolling in song. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for a beautiful day. Thank You for the sunshine. We thank You for the rain that You blessed us with this week. We thank You for watching over our steps and guiding our lives. Father, we are grateful to come together today to lift You up. We are grateful to come together today to praise You in song. We are grateful, Father, that you have seen fit to keep our members healthy and safe. We thank you for that. And we pray that you continue to just, Lord, help us do the things that are helpful and beneficial to our brothers and sisters. We love you. We love each other. And we're grateful for your love for us. Father, we recognize you alone as God. We recognize that you are the one, the creator of all things. We recognize that to you, a fire on a mountain is a very small thing. But we are very grateful to share in this awesome picture of your presence. And Father, we understand that as we draw near to your throne today, we understand that we draw near through the blood of Jesus Christ. We understand that none of us comes close to you because we're so good or because we bring you something so great. But we will also not social distance with you because of the blood of Christ. We praise your name and we ask that you be with us in our worship today. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all body. Be still and know that
Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I come before you. Just thank you for this day and this time that we get to just spend together as our body of believers. Thank you that we're back together again. And even in part, I thank you that, Lord, that we just get to join together and sing and praise you together. And I thank you for today and for Father's Day. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father and for adopting us as your children. And thank you for that opportunity. And I pray that we would just raise our kids in a way that's pleasing to you. Lord, please speak to us through your word today. And I pray that everything that we do is pleasing to your name. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, you were all to me. Why did you die?
Growing up, and I'm sure a lot of you, most people in here probably know this song. If you've ever heard "Does He Still Feel the Nails," this was a big popular one growing up as a teenager. The lyrics were, "Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, 'Crucify again?' Am I causing him pain? For I know I've got to change because I just cannot bear the thought of hurting him." And then, "Holy, holy is the Lamb." It was a good question. And I'll give you a good answer. The answer is no. And I'll tell you why. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'The sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, in burnt offerings and in sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written in the book of me, in the book, the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' But then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish a second. And by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet." The answer is no. Jesus made one sacrifice once and for all. Therefore, anything we do, any mistakes or any sins that we unintentionally commit, anytime we fall short, that doesn't give power enough to put Jesus back on the cross. He did it once and for all, and that was enough. And then he sat down, and he is still sitting down. And that's something, as we come together for communion, that we remember that his sins did atone for once and for all. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you thanking you for sending your Son to die and to be risen again as Lord and Savior. God, as we take this bread, let us remember the fact that, yes, he did offer an atonement for our sins once and for all. In Jesus' name, amen. pray together. Father God, we continue to give thanks for what you have done for us. We pray that as we take this cup, that we remember the blood that he shed for us. And we thank you. We can't thank you enough. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll pray for the offering. Father God, we thank you for all that you have done for us, and we are thankful that you remember our sins no more. God, as we will be giving back what we can to you and to be used for your kingdom, God, we ask that we do so with a cheerful and a thankful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Jesus, you're my King. Your life brings me to sing. I'll praise you all my days. You're perfect in all your ways. And Jesus, you're my Lord. I will obey your word.
You're the one, you're the only one. We will bless you.
Last week we talked about starting to talk about the things that are important for us to hear and to know and to hang on to during these interesting times that we find ourselves in. And this morning we're going to take a look at the story about Jesus from Luke's gospel, and it really is something that I feel and the Spirit's definitely leading me to share that this is important. This is important for us, those of us that follow Jesus, that walk in His steps. And so we're going to go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to take a look at what's going on here. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship, and right now, Lord, we just pray that you let us hear your word. Father, it is not our own wisdom that we want to rely upon. It is your word. It's also not our own strength that gets us through every challenge, but it is you. We thank you for letting us commune with you. We thank you for letting us cry out and sing to you. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for giving us your son. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Help us walk like Jesus walks. We pray in his name. Amen. A few things I think we need to hear again before we get into these stories. You'll remember that Luke was a doctor. And so Luke's gospel is different than the other gospels for a couple reasons. Number one, Luke is very detail-oriented. And number two, Luke's gospel, or Luke's Jesus, if you will, is very concerned about helping other people. That Luke's gospel is, if you wanted a social justice gospel, go to Luke. All right? If you want to see how does Jesus help and serve other people, it's happening in Luke. Now, what's interesting about Luke's gospel, and we're going to kind of fly through here. We're going to start in chapter 9. Luke, in ancient times, Luke's gospel was represented by the ox. Four creatures from Ezekiel. The ox is the beast of burden, the one that carries the burdens of the people. The ox was the engine. It was the V8 of the day. It did all the work. That's what got your tractor going. That's what was able to till the land. And the ox meant you had a little bit of money because you could afford an ox. And that was the thing that really got everything done on the farm. And so Luke shows Jesus in his gospel of carrying the burdens of the world and finally going all the way to the cross and becoming that final sacrifice, that final priestly sacrifice for the sins of the world. Now, as we're going to see here in Luke, as many things as Jesus puts on his own shoulders and carries for everybody, there is a large amount of things that Jesus refuses to get involved in. And that's our lesson this morning. Our lesson is, as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, what are the things that Jesus does not step into? What are the things that he does not allow himself to be taken this direction or that direction? How does he keep his focus? How does he keep his mind, his heart, his soul on the purpose of what God has put before him? Luke chapter 9. Let's take a look at 49. Now, this first one, his disciples say, "Hey, Jesus, we saw somebody and they were casting out demons. And they were telling those demons to go away. And they were doing that and saying, in the name of Jesus, get out of here, demons. And the demons were going away. So we should go stop them, right?" Wait, what? Well, yeah. I mean, they're using your name. They're using your power. They're helping people by making them spiritually well. We should go put a stop to this. Now, why would we put a stop to this? Oh, because they're not one of us. Because we thought, you know, we're your disciples. We're the guys hanging out with you every day. We're the ones who are closest to you. We should be the only ones that are helping people casting out demons, right? Jesus said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. They're doing good. They're helping other people in my name. Why would you stop that? It's a funny little story, isn't it? It is. It's a very telling story. He says, even if someone's not a part of your group, let them do good things. It almost makes sense, doesn't it? It almost makes sense not to get in the way of other people doing good things. That almost clicks in there. Jesus wasn't going to get involved. He's not going to say, I'm not going to stop and quibble about this argument and who's in and who's out and who's of our group and who's not of our group. Just leave them alone. Then the next story in verse 51. 9:51 says Jesus had his face set to Jerusalem. That means that's where he was going, okay? You start a journey and you have that place that you are not stopping until you get there, right? That is what the whole back seat's yelling at. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He goes to a Samaritan village and he goes in the Samaritan village and the Samaritans are like, wow, we don't really get Jewish preachers that come and visit our village. So come in, tell us something. This ought to be good. And Jesus said, well, I'll stop here, but I can't stay. I'm going to Jerusalem. Fine. No, just go now. No, we don't want to hear any of it. Just go. We're not good enough for you to stay here. Jesus said, okay. And so he and his disciples, they start to pack up and his disciples are like, you can just see the steam out of their ears. Jesus, you want us to call fire from heaven? Because I've been waiting to try this one out. This town needs to burn. They don't appreciate you and they're not even happy to spend one afternoon with you. Let's roast them. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes his disciples. Guys, no. We're not doing that. Let's just continue on the way to Jerusalem. Seriously? Jesus, they didn't respect you. They didn't respect you. They wanted you on their own terms. They made demands of you. And Jesus says, let's move on. But we could destroy them. We could tell them they're going to hell. We could do something. We could send them there. Jesus says, leave them alone. Keep going. Chapter 10, verse 38. You know this story. Two sisters have Jesus into their house. Martha's doing all the work, and Mary's sitting with all the guys at the feet of Jesus listening to the story, being a disciple, basically. Martha said, Jesus, you need to tell Mary that she needs to help me doing all the housework. And Jesus said, Mary's made a choice, and I'm not going to stop her. What do you mean you're not going to stop her? Look, there's so much, I mean, there's so much, gender norms, social requirements, being a disciple of a rabbi, and who could do that and who couldn't do that. There's so much written between these two sisters here, and Jesus just says, I'm not getting in this fight. She's made a choice. She chose well. I'm not going to take it from her. I'm not going to get in the way. Okay. Chapter 11. Take a look at verse 27. Oh, here's a good one. So Jesus is up there preaching, and you can imagine this being outside, and Jesus is up there teaching, and someone from the crowd, you know, when you're in the crowd and you ever know anybody that just want a little bit of attention? I'm just going to yell something out that I know everybody agrees with, and everyone will look at me and go, yeah, all right, good job, right? Well, there's nothing controversial about this. So someone in the crowd says, your mom is awesome! Okay, he's going to call me out. Maybe he's going to bring me out on stage. I don't know. Maybe he's going to give me a Jesus t-shirt. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be cool? Your mom is awesome! Jesus just goes, everybody that follows God is awesome. Let's move on. Wah, wah. I was so wanting him to recognize me. I was so wanting him to say, well, oh, my mom is awesome. Thank you very much. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do it. He refuses to just get into that, and he just says, everybody that follows my father is awesome. Let's all be awesome. There's not, oh, well, this person's super special awesome because of their role in the kingdom, or that person's not quite as awesome because of their role in the kingdom. And Jesus says, hey, if you believe in my father, you're awesome. Now, that person that yelled out your mom is really cool probably wasn't too excited, but I bet everybody else in the crowd was excited, right? Oh, man. Jesus roasted you. I'd have been that guy. Oh, he got you good. But everybody else in the crowd are like, hey, Jesus said we're all as awesome as his mom. I think. Sounds about right. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Chapter 12, look at verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Now, I hope you're seeing, because these are a lot of things, just boom, 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 boom. These are all instances where Jesus refuses to get sucked into what's going on around him. He refuses to play by the rules of everyone else. And he refuses to become anyone else's definition of who they think he should be. And so here in this story, in chapter 12, verse 13, someone in the crowd said, hey, teacher, look, this... We agree, right? If Jesus makes the decision of who should get mom's fancy china, then we'll both agree, you know, that's how it'll be, right? Okay, fine. Yeah, we'll do that. Whatever Jesus says, we'll go with. Jesus, hey, look, our mom died. We're having problems divided up. Tell my brother that it should be mine. Jesus says, that's not why I'm here. That's not why I'm here. That's not my role. That's not my job. That's not my purpose. Not why I'm here. Oh, I thought for sure. You ever have anybody do that to you? Maybe you haven't. Honestly, what I've seen is, you ever have somebody else try to tell someone else, hey, Tell my kid if they don't eat their vegetables that all their hair will fall out and they won't live to see past 15. I mean, you know, ridiculous things, right? And my favorite is, you need to tell my spouse that I'm right and they're wrong. Do you hate me? I mean, are you trying to get rid of me? No. And this, I mean, maybe it's never happened to you, but that's how I feel that what people are putting Jesus in a position of. Jesus, make a judgment here. Make a judgment here. Honestly, what I found in my experience, the one that comes crying to you with a problem thinks that, well, if I speak first and loudest, it'll go my way. Not always the one that you want to be on the side of. But Jesus is not there just to divvy up property. And then in chapter 13, the crowd pulls him right into the headlines. I mean, breaking news. This is the stuff, the yuck in the world that's going on. Surely Jesus has an opinion. Surely Jesus has some righteous indignation. Surely Jesus can shake a fist with us and say, my, how horrible the world is getting. So here it is, Jesus. Can you believe this? Pilate had some Galileans, and they killed them. He took their blood, and he put it in with the sacrifice that we offer up to God. Can you believe that? Defiling the sacrifice we make to God? So do you think that they were any worse than all the other Galileans? Now, you notice that in that question, when they say Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, that they killed these Galileans, he goes, okay, these people didn't deserve to die, but do you think that they were any more evil than people that are still alive? No? Well, Jesus, what about those people that the towers fell? Towers fell on them. What, do you think that they were somehow deserving of a horrible thing to happen to them? No. He goes, look, you know what? As a matter of fact, if you don't repent of your sins, you'll wish a tower had fallen on your head. What is this? Our Lord and Savior is just trucking through life, walking down the path that the Father has put down for him, and everyone that he sees, everyone that he comes into contact with, says, Jesus, we have an issue that we need you to be a part of. Jesus, we have a view that you need to agree with. Jesus, come join what we got going on here. And every bit of it, Jesus looks at it and goes, no, not what I'm doing. Strikes me, and this is why this is so amazing for Luke's gospel, because again, Luke's gospel is very concerned with showing Jesus as the servant of the world, bearing the burdens of the world. You know how it can become very difficult, very, very heavy on your shoulder to carry someone else's burdens? And yet still, Jesus refuses to put some things on there. Jesus refuses to put some on the load and said, oh, okay, I got room for that. He refuses to do it. Well, it seems that following Jesus includes figuring out what not to get caught up in. That following him, that there is a part of that, that we need to understand what not to be in. Let's go back to chapter 8. Let's take a look at this. Luke chapter 8, starting verse 16. He kind of gives us an idea. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Now, an interesting thing, we're going to take a look at a few verses here this morning, and one of the amazing things that they did for me this week was this word manifest jumped out, okay? This word manifest. He says here in chapter 8, verse 17, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. This Greek word means appear. We're going to see it in 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is going to use this exact same word to say this is how Jesus looks in your life. That when you are somewhere, Jesus appears. It's also 1 John chapter 3, the same verb that John uses to say when Jesus comes back, manifest. Jesus will appear. So this is the word that really jumped out for me from some verses that we're taking a look at. But what Jesus says here is that the hidden things of God are meant to be revealed. What God has given to the world is meant to be held up and said, hey, this is what's important. This is what God wants us to see. The light of God, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what is important for the world. Now, church, any time that you and I are being led over here, any time that you and I are being carried down this way, any time that you and I are devoting all of our thoughts, feelings, and energy on this cause, that group, this group, that group, this idea, that belief, all of these things that are trying to pull us away, and when we are giving our energy and our time on all those other things, we are not standing and being just like Jesus and saying, here is what the world really needs to hear. Church, we can't forget. Jesus didn't forget. Jesus didn't forget. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to get mad at him? I mean, a whole village rejected him because he wouldn't stay as long as they wanted him to. They rejected him. Fine. You're no rabbi at all. Just leave. Okay. That's the Son of God that stopped by a village to bless them with his ministry. And they said, well, if you're not going to minister to us the way we want you to minister, then go. There's probably some people that deserve to be burnt up, huh? Or Jesus says, leave them. Leave them. The same guy that's walking down the road that the Father has laid out for him, and he says, look, here is what is important. God has given you some things in secret, and you need to share it with the world. What God has done for you, other people need to know about. What God has shared with you, other people need to see. Let's turn over to chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, let's start in verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no dark part, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Now, Jesus, still a part of the story, a couple chapters later, but he's still talking about the importance of light. Except now, this one carries a pretty heavy warning. Be careful. We all think we're walking in the light. We all think we're living according to the light of God. And he says, you be very careful, because if it really is the light, it's going to be bright enough to help the world. But you need to watch out that what you think is the light of God that's inside you is not actually dark. Okay, now I'm paying attention. Now I'm paying attention because as one who claims to believe in the light, one who claims to speak the light, to share the light, to proclaim the light, to walk by the light, I need to be very careful because I am susceptible to just say, well, I belong to Jesus, so whatever I'm saying must be good. I belong to Jesus, so whatever I'm offering to this situation or this person, it's got to be good, because I thought it. So if I thought it and I belong to God, it's got to be good, right? And then Jesus comes along and says, whoa, 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 you be very careful because your light is supposed to be a blessing for others. But you need to watch out that this light that you're shining out there is not actually darkness. You ever accidentally been there? Well, I mean, you thought you were spouting light. You thought you were adding some good to the situation, but turns out you were just adding some ugly. Adding some negative. I mean, you thought you were walking in the light, but you weren't paying really good attention, and something along the way had pulled you over here. You gotten off track, and you still found yourself championing it and going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you went, oh, wait, what am I doing? So Jesus gives us, those who would follow him, this pretty powerful warning. The light is meant to be seen, but make sure it's not actually darkness. Look, church, God has given us the light of Jesus, and he has given us a very short time to let it shine. Our lives are short. Whatever age and whatever stage that we're at, they're relatively short. He says, look, I've given you an awesome gift. I've told you what to do with it. You got a little bit of time to take care of it. So as you think about your life, as I think about my life, what are my years going to be filled with? Am I going to let my years just be filled with, okay, well, what's on the news today and what do I need to get behind? Is that how Jesus walked? I mean, do you see Jesus going, okay, we'll go this way today? I don't. I see him going, my life's got a purpose. It goes to Jerusalem. Now, whatever I can do on the way there, I'm going to do. But I've got a goal. I've got a purpose. Don't get distracted. Let's take a look. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul does us a favor. He says, okay, flat out, here's the light that Jesus was talking about, and here's what you do with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart. We've renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, the light that Jesus was talking about, the light that we're supposed to light and put it up on the shelf, put it up on the nightstand, put it up in our window, just let everybody see it. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the light. That's the light. We have been given the light, and we have been given the ministry of sharing the light. God did not put us here to be activists. He just didn't. He didn't. We are in interesting, crazy times around, and it is so tempting, and I have just seen so much of it that, well, I haven't heard people talking about Jesus anymore. I don't know if you noticed. People are talking a lot. People got lots to say. But I don't hear anybody talking about Jesus. I hear a lot of people talking about how this person is the solution or that person is the solution or this person's the problem, that person's the problem. And the Apostle Paul is telling Christians, hey, guess what? Our message, it's not us. We're not the message. Jesus is the message. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed for those who are going to follow Jesus. We're not the message. Jesus is. Now look what he says in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Afflicted in every way, but you know what? We're not crushed. We're perplexed. We don't even know what to do, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted. We're made fun of. We have other people treat us bad. But God hadn't given up on us. We're struck down, but we are not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, and here's that word manifest, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. That Greek word is appear. That's that final one. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So, death is at work in us, but life in you. So basically, the Apostle Paul encourages all of us believers to carry the death of Jesus with us wherever we go, so that wherever we are, the appearance of the life of Jesus will be evident. Make sense? If I am holding the death of Jesus right here, then how Jesus lived will be seen right here. That's what we're encouraged to do. That's our cause. That's our political activism. That's our involvement in this world. Because what the world's trying to do right now is they're trying to say what? Ha ha ha, we got dividing lines. I mean, we already had Democrat-Republican dividing lines. Now let's ramp up the racial dividing lines. Let's separate this dividing line from that dividing line. Let's come up with all these different ways and have everyone stand up and say, well, I am this, or I am that. Church, somebody's got to stand up and say, Jesus is still the way. Nobody else is going to say it. Nobody else is going to say it. And if you notice what's going on around us, or at least on the news, we're pretty close to isolated so far. But we still have to know that Jesus is the solution. He is the light of God. That's the truth. It's not our truth. That's the truth. So don't get distracted, because the world's just trying to pull you away. The world's just trying to say, you know what? If I can just get you distracted and worried about all this other stuff, you won't be doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is following Jesus. If I can get you distracted and get caught up in these other things, then you just won't proclaim what the world needs to hear. You'll become quiet. So, we think about these stories of Jesus. Other people have time to worry about who's in our group or who's out of our group or who's one of us or not one of us. Other people have time to call down fire, rain judgment upon others. Other people have time to worry about the unjust nature of destruction. Other people have time to settle disputes or insert themselves in between groups or factions that are against each other. Church, I posit, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think you and I have time for Jesus. That's all we got time for. That's all we got time for. And we don't have very long. We really don't. We don't have very long. So let's make sure that what is important gets our time. Let's make sure that we are following in the steps of Jesus. Let's make sure that we are not having the light within us hijacked, turned into darkness, turned into something that it should not be. Let's be those that do what we're supposed to do. Share the good news with the world around us. Let people know that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He is still the only name by which all people can be saved. He's the only way. He's the only way. All right, this morning, if you need to respond, after we sing together, we'll share announcements or prayer requests or anything. But if you need to respond personally, let us know. And you got one? All right, let's stand together and sing.
Jesus, I love.
Hey, remember we talked about it last week, but if you've got or you can help out the Nixons, I think they said their due date was July 13th, but she didn't think she was going to make it that long. But they've got lots of girls' clothes, so any diapers that you can get or donate or bring up here for them, we'll collect those. So we'll fill up that table for them. And they'll let us know if we can do anything else. But right now, that's what we know, that they need lots of diapers to get it going, to get it started. We, from the first service, Lisa's family, Lisa Villegas' family, there is nothing they can do. Roy is Romeo's brother. There's nothing else they can do for him. And so his daughters are having to make some tough decisions this week. So we want to remember them. Also, Enoch, which I believe is her great nephew. He's the one we mentioned Wednesday night that has a growth on his head, and we're just asking that God just heal him. And we're continuing to ask that. We're saying thank you for the rain. I hope you got some. And if you didn't get enough, we're asking God to take care of that too. So we're saying thank you and please. They also mentioned our leadership, that they wanted us to pray for our leadership, church, city, state, national. Okay? There's a lot of, we need to turn some of our complaints into prayers. We are supposed to be a prayerful people, not a whiny, moany people. So, that's what the first service, they said, hey, we need to pray for our leadership at all level, not just complain about decisions that are made at every level. I thought that was worth a go. I think we should do that. And the last thing that I had was, we need to pray for the Imbituva. I know, right? Imbituva is a town that's about an hour and a half away from Hui, and they've started a new congregation there. He's reached out and baptized several people in this town, and they're getting this new congregation there. They had their first worship together this morning. And so it's a new church that he's working with and getting going. And so just remember that in your prayers. But it's I-M-B-I-T-U-V-A, Mbituva. So that's the new town. That's the new church. So we want to continue to lift them up. So what's going on with this group? What do we need to keep in our prayers? Anybody else? Well, we're glad you're here. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. So you get a day, a few minutes, I don't know, you get something. All right. We got everything? Okay. All right. Well, we'll close in prayer. And we just ask, the foyer is not large enough for social distancing. So if you need to use a restroom, use a restroom. If you need to do your giving, do your giving. Let's go outside and talk to each other outside. It's much healthier out there, but keep up the good work. I really appreciate everybody taking care of their business and just helping us out in all this. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Father. We thank you for making us your children through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that this week we will let your light shine. Father, give us the determination and the vision of Jesus so that we will not be sidetracked according to what this world says is important today or this afternoon or tomorrow. Let us be diligent in keeping eternal perspective and eternal priorities in everything that we do. We love you, Father. We thank you for providing for us your Son. And may we never grow weary or tired of praising you, of serving others, and doing what's right. And Father, we just wait for the appearing of Jesus. That's what we're working towards. That's our Jerusalem. That's where we're headed to. And so just please watch us this week so we don't get sidetracked. We lift up all of Lisa Villegas' family, and we just ask that you be with Roy, that you be with his daughters and the decisions they have to make this week and bring comfort to their family. We ask that you be with Lewis as his father passed this last week and bring peace to their hearts. Father, we ask for healing for Enoch and the growth on his head. And we just pray, Lord, that you will heal him, that you will take this away, that you will make him good so that the tests are not necessary and he will be all good. We thank you for the rain that you provided for us this last week, and we pray that you bless those that have not received the rain that they need, and that you just continue to watch over us and take care of us in this way. Father, we lift up Hui and the church in Mbituva, and we just pray your blessings to be upon them. We pray that you strengthen them and bind them together in your love, and that you fill them with your Spirit, and just guide their steps as well. Heavenly Father, we lift up our leaders, and we know it's easy pickings. It's easy to sit here and just complain about decisions made and things we don't agree with, but help us to be faithful. We lift up our leaders, Father. We lift up our elders here at Sunrise. We lift up our city government, our state government, and our national government, and we pray that you bless our leaders with wisdom. We pray that our leaders will seek your will. And we pray, Lord, that that we will have your purpose in mind. Heavenly Father, we lift up the family in Phoenix that are losing their father. And we just ask for prayers for them. We know that understanding is not going to come easy, and it may not come. So we just pray for your presence to be in their lives and that you fill their hearts with peace. Father, shine for them in this dark hour. We pray that you watch over all those that have suffered the effects of COVID and just the medical problems that this has done to our system. And just be with those that are hurting right now. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Lisa's mom with her upcoming surgery. We pray that it goes well, that she recovers well, and that this can be a blessing to her shoulder and arm. We lift up Matt's mom, and we just ask for health for her foot and for her overall health, and just be with her and help her to move and to get around and to just be her strength. We thank you for drawing us together in your name today, and we ask that you guide our steps this week. Let us continue to reach out to each other, to encourage each other, and to continue to live our faith together in every way that we can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.